Blog Talk Radio.
I only got part of your question.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we would like for you to ask your friends and family to share the show. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv and come join us. Come learn with us as we get so much great information, really incredible information from the gifts that God has given us. And today is no different. It's another incredible day. And first of all, I'm going to go give this to Miss Barbara to say hello to her and start us off on the right footing. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And what a wonderful day in the Lord this is. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And Father, we humble ourselves before you, acknowledging your greatness, your goodness, your sovereignty, your authority, O God, over us and over nations, over the earth and everything, Father, that you created. And we acknowledge you, Father, and we also say, Lord, that we are not worthy of the great gifts that you have given us, and most especially of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of eternal life as we surrender our lives to him. And, Father, you come into our lives and you change us and you transform us, Father, and conform us, O God, to the image of your dear Son, so that we will have the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts, the feelings, and purposes of your heart, and so that we can be your people here on earth, doing your will and good pleasure and spending eternity, all eternity, forever and ever with you in glory, O God. How good you are to us in every way, O God, and we do acknowledge that this day. Lord, we would ask that you would be with us, and Father, we recognize also we do not have the answers, but you do have the answers to everything that confronts us and challenges us in this world today, that you are the source of all wisdom. And, Father, you desire to give your people wisdom and understanding that we might know what to do during this hour. You are wonderful, O God, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Barbara. And I'm just so grateful for our guest, Miss Barbara. And, you know, really, in a way, they have somebody in common, which is, you know, I just think of Judge Roy Moore, who right now is making another stand. He's going out there and fighting, really, for the foundation of this nation. It's about remembering where our blessings come from. And I know myself personally, you know, there is no life abundant for me without Christ. You know, there's no joy without Christ. And I just thank him for what he's done for me and to get to know these people like the Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear and Luca Bochy. We are just so excited. And I'm going to go ahead and, hey, Luca, I'm going to go ahead and first of all, Pastor Lear, if you don't mind, just tell the audience a little bit of something. I would introduce you, but there's nobody that can do a better job, I'm sure, that than you at letting the people know what it is that you want them to know about yourself.
That we will have no other king but King Jesus, and that I will have no other king but King Jesus. And I rest my case. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And, of course, being a Mayflower descendant with 391 years of ancestry in this country, I take very seriously what happens to my country, America. And when I make the statement, someone has stolen my country and I want her back and I want her back now, I'm not joking when I say that. I know the history of this country. I love this country. I don't love America more than I love my Savior Jesus. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I live here in the wonderful state of New Hampshire. I was born in Lexington, Massachusetts. And so I not only do I have this in my DNA, I also have this in my history, and I have actually ministered in all 50 states of the United States and in Canada and in parts of Europe. And I want to tell you that this is a lovely country. I think it's beautiful from sea to shining sea. And I believe that America is worth saving, and I believe America is worth standing for. And, of course, as you mentioned, my dear friend, Judge Roy Moore and what he is doing, and you said he's taking a stand. Well, of course he is. Men of courage, men of chutzpah, men of bravura, winners always take a stand. It's the people that are not taking a stand right now that are getting in the way. So I have to tell everybody, pony up. Come on. Get out there before it's too late. Get in where
that's
the
right.
blessing is.
Amen.
I like to tell people when they come to church and they want to sit in the back row, I said, don't sit in the back row. You come up front. Why do we have to come up front? I said, well, come up front, closer to the front where the blessing is coming out, where the spout is, where the blessing is coming out. That's where you want to be. And so it's a glorious thing to be able to stand up for Christ and to stand up for this wonderful country. And that's what I'm doing coast to coast, more now in my mid-60s than ever before. And I've always been very busy for the Lord. The Lord has given me a kind of an unction. Sometimes I think I need to change my name to Caleb. You know, that in his 80s, his natural strength was not abated. So that's who I am. I don't care if people forget my name, but don't forget what I'm saying.
Well, we love you, Pastor Lear, and we are so glad, sir, to know you. And we're so glad you came to Alabama at one time, too, and took some time with us. And now we've got a new friend, Pastor Lear, Luca Bochy with Tea Party Italia, and we just love to hear from him, too. Hi, Luca. If you don't mind, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, okay. Well, after the presentation that Pastor Lear gave him, my presentation was going to be pretty much lame compared to his. Well, okay, I was, up until a few months ago, I was the spokesperson for the Italian Tea Party movement. Most of you people, that if you've been listening to City on a Hill, you know that it's a growing reality that it's tens of thousands of people are adhering strictly to the message of fiscal responsibility, personal responsibility, and constitutional adherence, pretty much the same way that the American Tea Party movement is going on. And since when I moved to London, UK, because obviously the situation in Italy was so bad, I had to move to the United Kingdom, I had been working with people from other countries in the international Tea Party movement that maybe the liberal media doesn't want you to know, but it's there, it's growing, and it's holding on for dear life to the values that we find so perfectly enshrined in the Bible and in the American Constitution. So pretty much that's who I am. Pretty much I can say the same thing that Pastor Lear said. I don't care if you forget my name. I'm not really important. But, you know, if you can take away some tidbits of knowledge from what I'm saying, I'm more than happy with that.
Thank you, Luca. Oh, you have really been amazing to us. And Pastor Lear, he got to speak with Judge Roy Moore. And I can't help but think that that was such an encouragement to Judge Roy Moore, that's one of the things I think that inspired him to run. That may be just a prejudice on my part, but I know that, you know, after his conversation with you, Luca, you know, I think Judge Moore started rolling that, you know, thought to, I've got to make, you know, I've got to go for this. And he has. And everybody is, I think at this point in time in our nation, the more we realize how important the true foundation is, and that when we hear those presidential candidates, and one in particular that really cites the fact that our rights come from God, it almost feels like something has been unleashed in America, Pastor Lear. The truth has been heard, and a lot of people are getting behind that person. If you don't mind, tell us your thoughts about that.
Well, first of all, I want to say that it's wonderful to be on the program with Luca, and I want to tell him, buongiorno, paisan. And I am myself 25% Italian. My great-grandfather, Felice Emanuele Viano, came from Santa Margherita, Italy, and one of my great-grandmothers, Teresa Fappiano Viano, came from Florence, Italy. So many people have told me, well, you know, generally speaking, those of English ancestry, like I am from the Mayflower, don't seem to have quite so much passion, you know, as some other people do. They're more, let's say, methodical and more calculated and whatever. I said, well, when people describe the Patriot pastor as being a very passionate man, which I am, I said, well, that's because I'm also part Italian. So Italians have a way of getting people going, and certainly have that pride in passion and so forth that's necessary. And passion is a good thing, I think. I mean, these people that don't seem to be able to get excited about anything except the Super Bowl are really missing out on the joyride that we're on here. And, of course, I'm sure as Brother Luca was talking with Judge Moore, that Judge Moore was reminded that the cause of America is not just the cause of America. The cause of America is the cause of mankind. And historically, you know, on the Village Green in Lexington, they understood that. In April 19, 1775, they knew that what they were doing was not just for themselves, but for the cause of freedom and liberty, the cause of mankind worldwide. And, of course, America, and I can't help but to remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, probably 20-something years ago, when we saw by the news here in America about what happened in Tiananmen Square in China, where the Chinese military, actually using tanks, were running over Chinese citizens, many of them very young. Many of them were holding up Statues of Liberty or our Liberty Bell. And it just touched my heart to remember that our cause is not just the cause of America. It's the cause of mankind, and it's really God's cause. You know, when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, for example, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, and I think about the wall between East and West Germany, when that came down, and what happened in Romania, where I've been and ministered, what happened in Russia and a lot of other places. It always seems like it first it's just a political battle, but it really isn't. It's the battle about freedom, and it goes all the way back, for example, when that pharaoh and whatever his name was, might have been Ramses or Ramses II, that we read about in Exodus, when the Lord hardened his heart because he would not let God's people go. The Lord wants people to be free to worship him in spirit and in truth. And until that happens, and that has to happen when people are able to make decisions, and I appreciate hearing from an Italian, expatriated from Italy into the UK, remembering that in the American Constitution, the first three words of the American Constitution preamble are, "We the people." And so this is the movement of the world, and I believe it's all part of leading up to the second coming of Christ, that people's hearts, and you know, there are riots going on in the world that have nothing to do with the Lord. But there are movements, principal movements, like the Tea Party movement, where we're saying, okay, we've had enough of being kept in bondage. We will have the freedom that our forefathers bought for us and paid for in their own blood. And we will have the freedom that Jesus bought for us on the cross. And, of course, we soon are entering into that time of year where, was it next week, I believe, is Ash Wednesday. And going through that period of time we call resurrection time or Easter time, where people recognize and should recognize the high cost of freedom. And the high cost of freedom was the death of Jesus on the cross. So that's one of the reasons why our sixth president, and Miss Barbara knows who that is. Miss Barbara, who is our sixth president?
Let's see, our sixth president would be John Quincy Adams.
There you go. That's a girl. I knew you'd get that. Well, he said, why is it that the celebration of America is so much entwined with the celebration of the birth of our Savior? Well, because it's the cause of freedom. Jesus wanted to buy our freedom, and our forefathers in America that fought that bloody war that didn't look like they had any chance of winning was for our freedom and for our liberty. So people of the world have a heart to be free because that is their birthright. Their birthright is to be free. That's what the Lord wanted for them. That's what the Lord wants for them, and that's what the Lord is providing for them.
Amen.
And it's ringing across in Italy, and I think of a voice in the desert. Sometimes you feel like that, sometimes, Luca. I know Pastor Lear has felt like that at times, but anyway, Luca, go ahead.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah, it is true that sometimes it's really, really hard to be speaking about liberty because right now people don't know what freedom means anymore, especially in continental Europe. And people have been so accustomed to realizing that the government is going to provide for them that right now when you're talking about freedom, they say, yeah, but we are free. Yeah, of course, we're free to do whatever we want. Yeah, obviously, except this. So pretty much nothing. But they don't see it that way. They always clamor for more government, more people. And they have no idea what is that. They say that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And unfortunately, our fathers, they were pretty lax in that point because they did not remain vigilant. And they allowed the government to take away that much part of our freedom, from economic freedom to personal freedom to any other kind of freedom. And right now, we're facing really a generation that doesn't really know exactly what to be free actually means. That's why when they're coming to America and they can say, really? Can I do that? Nobody's going to ask me this? Nobody's going to tell me that? No. Why? Why should you? So pretty much our battle right now is not really just a matter of fiscal policy, of trying to push forward the right people and trying to stop the wrong people from getting into office. Our battle is very much of a cultural battle. We have to just go there and remind people actually what being free really means. And sometimes they say to us, oh, well, you sound like a bunch of Americans. Obviously, I take it as a compliment, but in Europe, it's not exactly a compliment. And they say, why do you look for America for solutions? And I say, why should I look somewhere else? It's the only democracy in the world that has been working for the past 230 years, 240 actually. So why should I look anywhere else? Why should I look at another document? Why should I try to convene a new, constitution and stuff like that? There is a constitution. There is the American Constitution. It's been working 240 years perfectly. So why the hell should we look somewhere else? If you go to the smart people, the one like the current president, and they are saying that the constitution is limited, that we should go ahead, that we should invent something new. And you say, I disagree. I completely disagree. And say, of course, there is already a document which pretty much reflects what the ideal government is like, and that is the American Constitution. And right now we are trying bit by bit, really painfully, to just go there and explain to people and tell them everything that you heard about America is wrong. It's not like that. It's something different. You have to stand up and fight. And this is really, really hard. But, you know, once in a while you get some satisfaction, even small things. Last week there was, in Italy right now, there have been a lot of new taxes introduced. One is a property tax that is really high. It was cancelled by the previous government, and the new government has decided to put it back, and it's going to be even higher than before. But it just left to the cities and to the towns, councils, the authority to reduce the tax, or even cancel it. They can find the funds. And so right now the Tea Party in Italy is promoting in every town and every city a motion to just say, cancel this tax, because it's unfair, because we don't want it, and let's force the local government to cut spending in order to pay for the tax. And this is exactly what happened. It's a small town. It's just the first town, but it happened. So the town council decided that they're not going to raise the taxes. They're going to cut spending. And this is a result. This is a victory, a small victory, just in one town, a small town in northern Italy. But there are so many others, 150 other towns where they are discussing this thing. And right now we see that, you know, standing up and speaking up and fighting for something produces results. So if you fight, sometimes you win. It's a long fight. It's not going to end in 1 year, 10 years, 20 years. I don't know how long it's going to take. But we're fighting and some results, which is very positive.
And Ms. Barbara, you know, what Luca had told us in the past, which is they are taxed at a rate, a true rate, really, of about 70%. But, you know, they're being told the government's doing this and that. And I know we have been talking lately about, you know, the Catholics speaking out regarding the contraception. And I guess, you know, Obama supposedly has blanked on this issue, but really he has not, has he? I mean,
no.
Really?
No. He has not blinked on this issue at all. He is still the tyrant dictating from his powerful government position to the Catholic Church, to the insurance companies, to the people of America, that they have to do what he says and buy what he says to buy and act in the manner that's pleasing to him. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Diana, because I wanted to hear from both Pastor Lear and Luca about this. And, you know, the Catholic institutions, whether it's the hospitals, the schools, the social services, and they are the largest providers of those in the country. But no matter what, these are dictates, and it is wrong on and illegal on many levels, immoral as well. But the First Amendment, the Free Exercise Clause, which says that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. And we know that religion is defined by James Madison as the duty we owe our Creator and the manner of discharging it. And I know Judge Roy Moore uses that definition of James Madison as he speaks, and that has been the understanding throughout our history, that is the definition of religion, and it's talking about the true and living God of the Bible. And all writings confirm that. But I think one of the ways that they are attacking that free exercise clause is redefining religion to freedom, not freedom of religion, but subtly. I know I heard Hillary Clinton doing it for the past several years, and I think the Obama administration is doing it too, changing freedom of religion to freedom of worship, and they're hoping no one notices the difference. But the difference, I think, and I'd like to hear pastor's take on this, I think the difference is freedom of worship is within the walls of the church, and freedom of religion is not only within the walls of the church, but outside the walls to apply biblical teaching to all of life and to every arena, and especially those arenas that are, influence our people. The educational institutions, the government institutions, the arts and literature and all of this, you know, we apply biblical truth to all of life. What, Pastor, can you comment on some of that?
I certainly can. I have put a lifetime of study into that very creeping incrementalism, so to speak. First of all, I would like to mention, I really appreciated what Luca was saying. It always thrills me to hear somebody who's not born in America having an understanding of what America's about. Unfortunately, many Americans don't understand what America's about, and a lot of times it takes people from outside of America to make that comment. The one thing I would like to add, too, is when Luca was saying about democracy, we must remember that America is not a democracy. America is a constitutional republic with democratic principles. And, of course, our Constitution mentions the republic but doesn't mention democracy, because the man that you mentioned, James Madison, called it mobocracy, because then all you need to do is get a plurality of votes and you can control something. We're a principled expression of what government should be, and, of course, that not only comes from our Declaration and our Constitution, but also from our history all the way back to the Mayflower Compact and other such. But the Bill of Rights, of which you're mentioning what's called the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment, is not just about groups of people, it's about individuals. And of course, you're right on track, I believe, Ms. Barber, when you're talking about worship and houses of worship, because houses of worship are very much controlled right now under the 501c3 and the Johnson Amendment that was brought in 1950 and the incorporation of the state is already controlling the houses of worship. So now to make it seem like the Bill of Rights is actually a Bill of Rights for the government instead of a prohibition against the government doing certain things, it should be really called the Bill of Handcuffs, of how it restricts government and frees the people. So the freedom of the people, and of course, freedom of speech is not just to say, okay, a group of people can get together, they have freedom of speech, but an individual. And I know that individualism can be taken too far, but in understanding this, one person saying that these are my strongly held Christian convictions is provided for biblically, it's provided for constitutionally. So this is just another way of controlling. And, of course, as one of our founding fathers said, Thomas Paine, he said, tyranny like hell is not easily defeated. And so this tyranny has been going on for quite some time, and unfortunately, the church has not addressed it the way that it should have. And that Johnson Amendment came in, every true Christian in America should have certainly stood up. You know, I think about the great evangelist, Billy Sunday. He said, Lord, save us from off-handed, flabby-cheeked, brittle-boned, weak-kneed, thin-skinned, pliable, plastic, spineless, effeminate, ossified, three-carat Christianity. Because people that stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, no, I will not support the murder of babies. I will not support homosexuality. I don't have to. There's nothing that you can make me do that's going to make me support it. I will not, I cannot, I should not, and nothing you can do will make me to support it. That was the freedom of conviction. And, of course, most people when they discuss, and I get hit with this all the time, practically every time I go to the State House, which is pretty much every week, and appear in different hearings, I'm always addressed with, well, what about the freedom of religion? So what about it? You think that it's talking about just simply religion, meaning Muslim or Hindu or whatever else? Our founding fathers had no regard for those supposed religions. They were talking about the freedom of Christianity to not be dictated towards government with a type of uniformity. You know, and I think about Thomas Jefferson and his letter to the Danbury Baptist Association of 1802, and many people don't know where the wall of separation phrase came from. It didn't come from Thomas Jefferson. It came from Roger Williams, who left the Mass Bay Colony. He was a Puritan, expelled from the Massachusetts Bay Colony because he saw that government was trying to control the church. And so he went to Providence, Rhode Island, became, you know, started Providence, Rhode Island as a Baptist colony, basically saying freedom of conscience, that people will not be forced by government into a particular type of Christianity. And see, he was well aware, as many people today are not, that, you know, in England, I believe it was 1559, Queen Elizabeth I instated the Act of Uniformity, which required everyone in England to attend a state-sponsored church every Sunday, which used the Book of Common Prayer. And essentially, what she was doing is mandating that all citizens subscribe to her own personal beliefs. And so if we get back to this issue of houses of worship or about worship, we already have a control there that is wrong in the first part, saying, okay, and this is why many of the pulpits are silent, because they're being controlled by the government, where the government's not even supposed to be there. So now then it makes it look like one person standing up and saying, well, we don't agree with abortion. We don't agree with homosexuality. We do believe in the Constitution. We believe of the infallibility of Scripture and so forth and so on. Now they go back to the church, you know, the established church, so to speak, and say, well, you're not supposed to be saying stuff like that. It's not public policy. FEMA's using the church. I saw that done in New Orleans with Katrina, that you had to be faith-based initiative approved before you could bring food and medicine and clothes and everything in for benevolence in Katrina. It's been going on for a number of years. It's been very effective, and it's got to stop.
Well, Pastor Lear, you really just remind me of that. My goodness, Ms. Barbara, it is turned upside down, because we do have a national church, as you're saying, and they're even telling, you know, chaplains what they can say, what they cannot say. So it is time to wake up. But, Luca, you know, remind us of what Europe is facing economically, Italy and the rest of Europe, because of those, I think Judge Moore has used the term fascist pretext, so that, you know, votes can be bought and the people made to feel like, oh, we're doing all this for you. And I know they're to the point that they can't really keep doing that. But if you don't mind, Luca, tell us what's going on right now, the worries of the economy in Italy and the rest of Europe.
Yeah, well, pretty much right now the situation is slowly but definitely going for the worse. Because pretty much we have a state that is already bankrupt, which is Greece, and you had today a lot of rioting in the street because they have approved the so-called austerity packages, which is pretty much too little too late, because pretty much the state is bankrupt. They will never be able to repay the debts. Unfortunately, there are also another couple of states which are in the same situation, which is Portugal and Ireland, are burdened with debts that they will never be able to pay by themselves, and so they will always be under foreign protection, and they will always be the European Union government, or in this case the German government, who would say, okay, you have to do this, you have to do that, this and that. So these states are not free anymore, and you have an almost failed state, which is Italy. Nobody wants to talk about it, because Italy is so large in comparison to the other countries, that if Italy goes down, pretty much the whole planet goes down with it, because the whole system of sovereign debt and the whole banking system of the whole planet will go down if Italy decides tomorrow we will not pay our debts. So obviously that's why you had the constitutionally elected government in Italy replaced. The same thing happened in Greece. They had a democratically elected government that was replaced in the middle of the night by a decree from a foreign government, which was the French and the German one. In Italy's case, it was just the German government that decided, we don't want Mr. Berlusconi anymore, and kick him out. And the president of the Italian Republic, who is a communist, that in 1956, when Soviet tanks were crushing the people of Budapest in Hungary, he was there writing for the communist newspaper in Italy and saying that the people of Budapest, they were a bunch of counter-revolutionary, and long live the Soviet Union and long live communism. It was that. That guy is right now the president of the Italian Republic. And he decided that the will of the people was pointless. And we don't want Mr. Berlusconi. Okay, let's remove him and let's place some other guy. This other guy, Mr. Monti, that just graced the cover of Time magazine a few weeks ago and saying that this guy can save Europe, is a bureaucrat. Has been a university professor, never had a real job in his life, and has always been used to taking orders. He was a Goldman Sachs advisor and so on. So pretty much the situation is like that. They're raising taxes every day, and pretty much the situation is not really sustainable anymore. There are companies that are closing every day. And so right now, people are more and more desperate. But what we see right now is that the media machine is acting, for the government in order to just make them easier. So they are just finding scapegoats. And they're saying, if people are not paying taxes, they should go to jail. They should be executed. They should go down. There was actually a judge that just gave an interview to a newspaper, something which I find absolutely incredibly, wrong, but it's apparently common in Italy. He just went to a newspaper and said, we know that there is 150 billion euros in Switzerland, in one city in Switzerland, that belong to Italian citizens. And we will get them one way or another, even if we have to send the army. Okay, I was just there reading that. And I was thinking, hold on a second, who is this guy? This guy is a magistrate, he's a judge. So he wasn't elected by anyone, because the system in Europe is like that. You are not elected. So why the hell is he talking like he's in charge of things? And then what do you say? You want to use the army against another sovereign nation to get the money? These guys are desperate. So right now we're just facing this situation. The whole system is collapsing. So you have one part of the country, pretty much between 10 and 15% of the population, which is living on the backs of the rest of the people. The rest of the people, they don't have any more money. And this 15% of people, which are public servants and crony capitalists and friends of friends, they are desperate because they see, oh my God, the money is not there anymore. So as Margaret Thatcher used to say, socialism is a problem because sooner or later you run out of other people's money. They are running out of money. The governments in Europe are running out of money, and they're finding ways and creative ways to get the money. And they're doing that in the only way they can, with bands, with guns and badges. They're going there, and you have seen nothing. You have seen nothing because in the next few months, when the situation will get worse, and it will get worse, you will see things that you will not think that it's possible that a country in Europe does something like that. It will happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You will see people that are, houses taken away from them, or thrown in jail, or literally. I don't know what is going to happen, because it will get bad. It will get very bad. Because right now, you have this part of the population. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, look, I just want to ask you to remind the people, if they're new and they've not heard you before, what these spacious pretexts were that really got this ball rolling. And, one of the things that I remember you telling me is like, how as a worker you cannot be fired. And wouldn't that be a dream come true for all of us if the National Labor Relations Board with all union, members, and they could pass laws here in America where nobody can get fired, all union.
Well, they already have with the teachers' union.
Pretty much.
The teachers' unions have, they can't be fired.
Yeah, that is the problem.
The issue is not so much about who can't be fired, because if they had that power, they can also have the power to decide who can be hired. And see, that is really what this is out, because when you're looking at from a biblical worldview, where are we heading? We're heading towards a one-world government. Just as Luca was saying about a magistrate making these declarations, as if courts make laws, which in America we know the court can't make law, only the legislatures do, and using the military to take things away from people and so forth and so on, because this is about saying, okay, we'll tell you who lives and who dies, who can eat, who can't. We'll tell you who can work and who can't work. And, of course, doesn't that remind us of what we've been told scripturally is the mark of the beast, that if you don't have that, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't... If you can't buy and you can't sell, of course, that mark also would be used to keep you from getting a job. You know, no, you're not going to have a job because we don't like your politics. Yes, we'll protect you and make sure that you can't be fired no matter how bad you are at your work. You won't be fired, but you got to do what we say, you know. And so that's the whole tyranny here of putting everybody universally in a type of bondage, that there's really no freedom. And of course, Mr. Obama, with all the other things he's talking about, and we're fighting here in New Hampshire quite a number of these things, about raw milk, that you can't have raw milk. Because they found out, of course, that raw milk is very healthy. People have been drinking raw milk for centuries and finding health benefits, and it's renewed health benefits. But now we're going to tell you, you can't have that. We don't care if it helps you. We don't care if it makes you healthy. You can't have that because we said you can. And so that's a totalitarian regime. And while Luca was talking, I'm thinking about a time in Europe in the 30s into the 40s when a regime in Germany came about that identified a whole class of people as being subhuman. And after identifying them as subhuman, then sending the military against them, sending the police and the gun and the badge against them, and to kill them, and to take away their stuff. And I understand that the Jewish people in the time of the Weimar Republic and then into Nazi Germany, remember, Nazi means National Socialism, that at that particular time they were quite wealthy and well-to-do. It was very much like in the Bible that we read in the book of Genesis, how the Jewish people under Joseph were invited into the Goshen land in Egypt, and they became so prosperous, but then came a pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, and then put those people in bondage and kept them. So, I mean, that the message we've got here is not just for 2012. This is the same battle, different day, same battle, maybe different names, same condition of the fallen nature of man. See? And that's what we're dealing with here.
And Pastor Lear,
the only answer to the fallen
nature
of man is Christ.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And I just also, Miss Barbara, you know, we have been really doing a lot of interviews regarding the Common Core standards and what, you know, the Pastor Lear has just reminded us of Germany. Now, we know full well what Germany, we are concerned about the schools of the nationalization that we're seeing with the standards.
And that's right. And, those standards do not recognize the fallen nature of man, I can assure you. The Founding Fathers recognized it, and that's why they were so very careful in separating the powers of government into three separate branches with checks that they could handcuff one another, the branches could handcuff one another and not let one another go beyond those restraints. Why? Because of the fallen nature of man, and that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, as Lord Acton stated.
Lord Acton.
But in the Common Core standards, no, you will not find a recognition of the fallen nature of man. You'll find just the opposite, and the claim that environment is the answer to everything. Control the environment, and you will have better results with people and their behavior. And, of course, the government's going to be put in charge of controlling the environment of all children, all people.
And they will have control of the children's mind. And if they can get this done as they've been working on, we won't have to worry about elections in the future as far as getting their mandate done. You know, the children will do it. You know, they'll grow up wanting it, asking for it, requiring it. And Miss Barbara, you know, I heard earlier today about the talking heads talking about this, that, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if this was just really abortion pills, I mean, contraceptives, but these really are abortion pills. You know, they well, I can't call the term for it right now, but you know, you hear the talking heads.
Well, they're abortifacient. They're called abortifacient drugs.
Right.
They definitely are, because...
Right.
The
point I was going to say was the talking heads will continue to lie. They will deny that these are quotations. No, they'll just say, no, these are concepts. And if you don't know any, if you are listening, do not see the truth and you're listening to the lies, they're going to keep on calling the lies, never mind the truth.
Well, Diana, I would really like to point back, and no one is talking about this, so I would like to just point back to the beginning of recreational sex in the United States of America, and you can pinpoint it with the birth control pills to liberate women for recreational sex. No longer would women be confined to one relationship, marital relationship, and the procreation, having children within the family, but then it freed women up to have recreational sex, and that's exactly what happened. That recreational sex, it was the result of the birth control pills, where they wouldn't have to worry about any consequences for any illicit sex. Then you have what has been the result of that. You have the broken homes, you have divorce, you have recreational sex now defined as any kind of sex, homosexual, incestual, bestiality, polygamous sex, group sex, and all of this is under the umbrella of recreational sex, which came about in the 60s with the invention of the artificial birth control to free women and start that women's liberation movement, and we see the results in our society. So yes, they're abortion pills, but they're also, there is a freedom of conscience about the birth control pill itself. Now, as I said, I don't hear anybody else talking about it, so I'm going to open my big mouth and just let my opinion be known.
Well, you're right. We have been trained. As you said, we've been sexualized. Everything that you see on TV, if you've got a little body watching TV, would you be careful, because the ads in between the supposedly family-friendly movies will have something that will just shock them, and you too. So it is maddening, and we've gotten away from the acknowledgement of God and his ways. That is the way that really was good for America and Europe, the rest of the world, but we have gotten away from that. And it's so refreshing to hear one that reminds us the truth, and I've heard it from Judge Moore and you, Pastor Lear, and Luca, so many times, which is that our rights come from God, not from man. And it's so refreshing, and I think there is a turning back. I'm seeing it, I think, in this presidential election primary. I think the surprise that we're seeing is because people are remembering. Someone is calling the truth, and they recognize it, because Dr. Lear, it's really kind of a shock to the mainstream that this is even happening, that we're paying attention to what this certain somebody has said.
I'm really glad that Ms. Barber brought up that issue, because basically what this is about is destroying the sovereignty of God over our lives. It's the ultimate rebellion that's been going on, and if there's no sovereignty over our lives, and we can do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it, and that's not liberty. I believe in liberty under law, under God's law and under constitutional law and so forth. That's true liberty. The other is licentiousness, which biblically that's an old-fashioned word in the King James translation. Licentiousness means let it all hang out. Do whatever comes naturally. We know what comes naturally. Rebellion against God. And so that destroys every vestige of anything that's moral and true. And then you put it, once again, as Ms. Barber said, where do our rights come from? Well, they come from God, and if they don't come from God, we don't have rights. If there is no God, then we don't have rights. We have privileges that have been granted to us by the benevolence of the tyrants that control us. And, of course, that's what we've got going on now in America, where they're making out like, well, you know, maybe we'll let you have some, you know, raw cheese or something like that. Maybe we'll let you gather together and, you know, and say what you want to say. What do you mean you'll let us? We have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable or unalienable rights. In other words, there's no way you can take them away. But see, people have come to the point of saying, you ask the average American person, first of all, if they know anything about God's law. Most of them don't. Even many Christians don't, I'm sorry to say, because they don't read the Bible. They watch more news reports. They watch more television than they do study God's word. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, that a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, those kind of things. And then the other issue is, while the people are sleeping, so to speak, the tyrants are coming along and gathering all these things up. So abortion is serious, because it also goes back to the first commandment that God gave Adam and Eve when they were coming out of the garden. What did he say to them? Go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. You know that in China, they tell you how many babies you can have. They've taken control of that. No, you can't have them.
And why can't that be here as well? If this is allowed to stand, if the tyrant Obama can dictate that the church must provide abortion pills and birth control pills, why can't it dictate that you must have that one child policy, such as the Chinese leaders have dictated in China? You know, what's to stop them? If this is not stopped, what is to stop them? And not only did he tell Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, but he reiterated that with Noah after the flood. Be fruitful and multiply. And I don't see in anywhere, and I love the Word of God, and I read the Word of God, and I've through and through over and over again. And I don't see anywhere where the Lord said, oh, I've changed my mind. No, no longer be fruitful and multiply. In fact, I see where God closes the wombs. We see that numerous times in the Word of God, where God closes the wombs and will not permit certain ones to have children. And so, yes, his authority is to be respected.
And with the abortifacient drugs, one quick point here. With the abortifacient drugs, at some point in time, we're going to have to get permission to have a baby. We're going to have to get permission, because the insurance companies say, well, we're not paying for you to have a baby. You know, that's against federal law. You have to get permission. And right now, as we speak, what is being developed is an artificial womb, so that babies could be created in an artificial womb. You could have to go to the government, because you're already sterile. You know, you can't conceive, because they've given you these drugs, and between genetically modified organisms and all this other stuff, you're sterile. I mean, is this getting to be like a picture of hell? You know, you have to go to the government for permission to get a baby. If you can't produce one yourself, they'll take a raffle, so to speak, and give you one out of an artificial womb. This is nothing short of an abomination, and it can't stand. It just can't.
Well, the artificial womb could also be for homosexual couples.
But not only that is the problem. That is the problem. You don't realize that this is all part of a plan. This plan was conceived in the 60s by the KGB. And this is history, actually. And they said that the only thing that was standing between them and complete control by the government of the life of the individual, there were several things. Obviously, the law of God. Obviously, family, obviously, morality, obviously, these kind of things. And these guys in the Soviet Union, they were pretty determined and to say, okay, we've got to find a way to demolish everything. The first step was the birth control pill, so that we can demolish morality. And then, obviously, they proceeded relentlessly. They don't care. They say communism has fallen. No, they just changed their clothes. They just took off the red shirt and they just put another one. Now it's a green one. But they're still red on the inside. So that is the fact. They want to destroy family. They want to destroy religion. They want to destroy everything that stands between them and complete control over people's lives. When Pastor Lee was saying that the artificial womb will create kids and then they will be given with a raffle and stuff, no, there is no way. It's the way they did it. Even in Scandinavia, in Sweden, you had the baby, and after 1 year, it would be pretty much taken away from you and be, you know, in kindergarten and preschool and then school and stuff like that. And the family was considered a nuisance. Who do we care? If they can create children out of nothing without the need of a father and a mother, well, nothing is going to stop the government from taking complete control of their life and from just harvesting kids. I know this sounds like science fiction, but it's not. It's around the corner. It's not. It's happening right now. So people have to be very aware of this, because when we're saying something like that, I can understand that for some of the listeners, it can be saying, you're not serious, right? Yeah, you're joking. And then you say, no, we're not. We wish, but we're not. But this is the plan. And it's the same pattern over and over and over again. They want complete control over the lives of everyone. That's why they're taking away your money. Well, of course, the pieces of paper that we had in the wallet or the plastic card, they're not money. Money used to be something physical, something that you had.
Silver
and
gold.
It was there. Silver, gold. It was there. And they didn't take it away from you. But right now, they can take it away from just like that. They can say, okay, your card is not going to work anymore, and you don't have money.
I hate to stop this for just a moment, Luca, Pastor Lear, Ms. Barbara, but I want us to be able to pray. We can keep on talking afterwards, but before, so that the listeners could hear a prayer. We have all these monstrosity that we're having to deal with, but I always love to hear y'all pray, give it to God. So if you don't mind, Pastor Lear, and you can stay on, and we'll talk to more Luca if you don't mind. Would you give it to God in prayer? Sorry,
I will.
We've got so much to give to Him in prayer.
Well, Heavenly Father, I believe most emphatically that You have more to give than the enemy can ever take away. And I believe that as we continue to look to You, the author and finisher of our faith, and we know that there was all the powers of hell and darkness that tried to keep Jesus from getting to the cross, tried to keep Jesus on the cross, tried to keep Him in the ground. They weren't successful, and they won't be successful now. Nobody is strong enough on their throne to be able to unseat You from Yours. And I thank You also that we're reminded that this battle may seem to be way over our heads, but it is a spiritual battle. And I thank You, Lord, that You have given us spiritual weaponry, that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty towards the tearing down of strongholds. And You've told us in Ephesians 6 what we put on as the spiritual armor. You've also reminded us that when a man's ways please the Lord, he can make even his enemies be at peace with him. And I know the battle is really on the grassroots level. It's not just at the White House. It's at the State House. It's at the county courthouse. It's at the town hall. It's also at our own homes and in our own hearts. And thank You, Lord, that You have won the battle, as You say in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through You who loved us. And all that list of things that is so terrible and dismal that we have brought up, we continue to look to the hills from whence cometh our salvation. We will not be defeated unless we do not fight. If we will not fight, we would be defeated. But give us good courage, Lord. We ask for it. We thank You for the outpouring. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your anointing, that even one will seem like a thousand, 1,000 will seem like 1,000,000, and You will be glorified. Your presence will be known. We take You to the streets. We speak of You in all the places that You said that You would be holy. Like You've said in Leviticus 17, You will be holy. You will be glorified. You will be spoken well of, and we will do that. And we pledge that to You as You give us the power to do so. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God in America.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Y'all, I have loved every moment of this. I have the privilege and pleasure of going to pick up my grandchildren from their Christian school. So I must say goodbye and my love to all of you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Pastor Larry, you and Luca can have continue your conversation, but if I may ask, your prayer is just really just an awesome thing, and I want to ask Luca, and to this, I know this is a wonderful time for both of you, it is for me, but I want to ask Luca, you know, has Europe gotten so used to the dictates of the government, does it even ring to them that their rights come from God, and that's really where it should be seen as coming from? Is any of that even in the back of their minds that, you know, that's the way it needs to be?
That is the problem. We have to start from scratch. This is really the situation right now, because people have come to, they have grown accustomed to the idea that they come from the government. They don't come from God. Nobody's been teaching them this, not in schools, not in universities, not in the church, nothing. So this is the problem. Most people do not know that these are their inalienable rights, like Pastor Lear said. They have absolutely no idea. They just think, okay, it's just a matter of replacing the bad guy with the good guy in the government. And so when you go to them and you tell them, no, that's not the point. The government shouldn't be able to take away your money, your freedom, or your freedom to speak and something. They shouldn't have that power.
That's very important. That's very important what Luke is saying. And here's why it's important, because our founding fathers, when we understand the original intent of the founding of America, that was one of the things that they were trying to get away from and make sure that it wouldn't happen again. The thing is that they didn't realize, I think, quite as much the fallen nature of man. They thought that that would be the restraints if people would stand up for it, and the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And so that's one of the reasons why I make the point that it isn't just at the White House, but we are making headway here in New Hampshire. I can tell you last week, in fact, a week ago yesterday, I saw something happen that I rarely, if ever, see. And I've been appearing in hearings before the General Court and the Senate and Governor's Council and so forth for years. 20 years up there. I saw a situation where we were being told by a government agency what we would do. I gathered some people together and I said, okay, well, what do you want to do about this? Well, we don't want to get into trouble and we don't want to. I said, wait a minute, what do you mean you don't want to get in trouble? You already have cease and desist orders telling you either you will oblige this government agency or you will be fined $500 to $1,000 a day. You're already in trouble. We need to go on the offensive right now. So, make a long story short, I got this group together of farmers, basically, and we went up to the State House and we met with the Agriculture Committee and told them, this is what we want. And they said, well, you can't have that. And they sent five government agents, who I know are being influenced by the federal government as well, and they said, no, you can't do that. I stood up and I said, wait a minute. Are these people on our payroll? We're paying these five people to come and tell us what to do? No, this is not right. This is not constitutional. We're not putting up with it. We want them to stand down. We want this bill to pass. You are our elected representatives. You're here at our pleasure. I appreciate what you're doing, but if you continue on, we will replace you. I'll tell you what a turnaround we got. After five hearings, we finally got it out of committee. It's going to be voted on this Wednesday. And it went out of committee 16-0, ought to pass. Everybody said, what happened here? I said, well, first of all, we prayed, and instead of just praying, we went on the offensive. Now, as Christians, I believe we need to never go on the offensive except after we've been attacked. Then we're not on the offensive. We're really on the defensive, and our attack for the defense is going to be very strong. So that's what we need to do.
This is a problem, yeah.
But there are people here that were elected, you know, by the Tea Party people who knew why they were elected. You're elected to go up there and represent us, and this is what we want you to do. And so there are quite a few of them that we've replaced. I had to have a conversation with a representative a few weeks ago who doesn't agree with us concerning abortion, homosexuality, or any of these other things. And I said, George, You may be pretty good on the financial issues and constitutional, but I am going to find a replacement for you in the next cycle. You're out of here. Consider it done. See? Because we can do that, and we should do that. Now, some people, that's not very nice. Well, I don't care if people don't think I'm nice. I want to survive. I want my grandchildren to survive. I want my country to survive. And it's not going to survive if we're going to play wiffle ball when they're playing hardball with us. So I believe that it can be turned around. And like what Luca just said, I think getting a new crop in there is very important. As far as I'm concerned, even some of the good people that are in Washington right now, if I had my way, I'd send every one of them home. I'd say, go back and get a job. You know, none of you are here anymore. All of you, even some of the good ones, sorry, we're cleaning the house. We're bringing in a whole new group, and we're going to have a class before anybody gets seated in their position of your oath of office, and you're going to keep your oath of office. And if you don't keep your oath of office, you will be tried for treason, or you'll be tried for perjury or something, and you'll be sent home, you know. But nobody's afraid of that anymore.
Well, look, I think Pastor Leader just shows us, you know, it's not a negative on citizen and all that really matters. I think it's somebody that where his foundation is and can use others with like-minded. So, I think it would be a great thing, Luke. Maybe y'all can think about inviting Pastor Leader to go to Italy.
Well, why not? We shouldn't be.
Well, it's about time that I went to research my Italian heritage in Santa Margherita and in Florence. Some one of these days, I hope I will be able to do that.
We have fighting for America right now. I know, but still, you know, both in Liguria and in Tuscany, we have pretty strong Tea Party groups, so I'm sure you will be more than welcome over there.
Well, I'd appreciate your prayers and any recommendation that way.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, Luca is supposed to be coming. Luca, are you still thinking about coming? I hear, do you have a cold,
no,
Luca? Are you getting over a cold?
Still working the details, and I'm not sure if it's going to be this end of March or maybe more towards the summer. But I still have to consider a few things. But still, definitely, I will be coming to visit, you know, the southern part of the United States, southeastern. And I'm not sure exactly when. I'll keep you posted because it's a bit more complicated than I thought. But, hey, we'll get there. With patience.
Well,
and
if you come up this way, I'd be glad to host you up here.
Definitely. I will. I will try. Okay, well.
Well, with tonight, I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye and tell the audience to please look up your website. Look, if you don't mind giving yours and then Pastor Lear.
You were kind of breaking up. I kind of missed that.
Yeah, a bit.
I'm sorry. If you don't mind, Luca, give them your website, and also when you get through, Pastor Lear, if you don't mind, give your website, sir.
Okay.
Yes, I'll start and I'll say that, so, the Italian Tea Party movement is present both on Facebook, on Flickr, on any other social network. Just put the keywords and you can find us. And the website is www.teapartyitalia.it. And still in Italian only, but with Google Translate, you can have it in English as well. We're still working on the English version. It's a problem, but if you know anyone that has still relatives in Italy, tell them to just go to the website and check it out, because the movement is growing. It's a very tough battle, but there's lots of young people that are fighting day after day, and we're getting results. So, well, maybe it's the right time to just stand up and fight for our country as well.
Amen.
And Pastor Lear, if you don't mind, give your website, sir.
Yes, I can be reached at Patriot Pastor. Well, the website would be thepatriotpastor.org. Thepatriotpastor.org.
Or the Well of Living Water?
Or the Well of Living Water.com. Easy to find me out there, Google search. everybody can find me.
For sure,
Well, that's because I'm not hiding.
And, you know, it's really wonderful.
I'm too
because
big to hide.
Oh, guess how tall he is, Elizabeth. Okay.
Yes.
I think tell us how tall you are.
6'7".
Oh my God.
I'm still 6'7". They haven't whittled me down to size yet. People have been trying it and it hasn't worked.
Oh boy.
Well, he is amazing. Both of you are amazing. So I thank God you got to speak to each other. And I think we'll have to let you both come back on again.
Well, that would
be
wonderful.
Yeah,
Pastor Leo, do you still have some relatives in Italy? Do you still have relatives in Italy that you speak with, Pastor Leo?
Oh, no. No, I don't know. My great-grandfather, my Italian great-grandfather and Italian great-grandmother really did not. They broke off from the old country and became tremendous Americans. They're buried in Lexington, Massachusetts, and actually did not even allow Italian to be spoken in their home. So my grandfather, my mother's father, first-generation Italian-American, who was a decorated First World War veteran, Army tank commander with the United States Army, didn't even know how to speak Italian. I mean, they just full-on American said, no, Italy's the old country, America's the new country. You know, they did, however, I would say, growing up, I watched my mother and a lot of my aunts and so forth with my great-grandmother making Italian food the Italian way. That they did do. That we know about. But who we have in Italy, I don't know. But I'm sure if we went to some of the different places, I had a cousin who actually went over there, and she investigated our coat of arms with the Viano family, and she actually made contact. So they're over there. I probably could find a few, but I haven't stayed in touch, no.
Well, I hope you both get to meet each other, Luca. I think y'all will have lots and lots to talk about.
God willing, yeah.
Okay. Well, God bless you, Luca. You sound like you've got a little bit of a cold. Hope you get well 100% soon.
I hope so.
Or it might be just my hearing. But anyway, God bless you both, and I'm going to play a little intro. I call it A Pledge of Allegiance by a bunch of kids. But anyway, God bless you both. Thank you,
listeners.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the radio program, A